comes sweeping down the plain. And the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back to Okla Said. It's the official Okla Ed podcast. This week, Scott Hazelwood was our special Okla Ed chat moderator, and his topic was challenging yourself. And he's here with me right now. You can find him at on the Twitters at Teach From Here, and I, Aaron Barnes, am at Elin LLL. Scott, how's it going today?
You know, it's going pretty fabulous, and I think this Okla Said name that we've come up with here, as suggested by our Okla Ed peers, is quite catchy.
I do, yeah. Who did you say came up with the Okla Said?
Okla Said came from, I just had it right here, talk amongst yourselves. Mm-hmm. So there was this one thing that one time.
That one time at band camp?
That one time
or
at band
camp.
Yeah. The one time at Ed Camp when we were going to all talk about podcasts and real life happened. Okay. Okla Said came from at DDM Teach.
You know who she is?
I do not know who she is. She has a private lock on her Twitter account. So hopefully this will encourage her to be a little more sherry.
Maybe she can open up to us. So
perhaps
has
so.
She did you from that take, did you get that she was listening to the recasts each week?
I couldn't tell. I had just asked at the end of the Okla Ed chat last week if anybody had any cool name ideas for it. So
I love it. Well, I hope she finds this. And if
Me
you
too.
Do, maybe someday if we ever get paid for this, we can, I don't know, give you some sort of a title fee.
Starbucks card.
Starbucks. All right. Well, the chat this week, man, you did a great job with these questions.
Thank
I'm gonna
you.
Be honest. You really challenged me in some places. Put me in a little bit of a depression, but I feel like I'm coming out of it. I feel like I'll be able to turn the corner here. But you did open me up and caused me to look inside. So that was really, really awesome.
That was the goal. I wanted us to you know, boldly face the challenges that we're looking at as teachers, both with us and within the classroom, so that we can get better. I think you never improve unless you challenge yourself somehow. And so I wanted this chat to be an emphasis on that and taking those baby steps.
I love it. Well, let's dive in. Question number one. You ask us to introduce ourselves and share one thing not education related that we've always wanted to do but have never done.
Right.
Scott, for me, I want to go to base camp at Everest. I do not love the idea of climbing Everest. I don't have any desire for that. I like my nose. I like it being the color that it is and not purple, you know. I like my toes intact. And so I don't really have the desire to climb Everest, but I do want to see the mountain with my own eyes. And so that would be something that I've always wanted to do and have never done. Do you have something?
You know, funny story. I would love to be a teacher astronaut person. That would be the one thing that I have never done. There's a lot of people that have never done that. It's
right.
A pretty exclusive club, but I think it would be really cool. I would love to be able to do one day some sort of calculus lesson or ed tech lesson or whatever from space. I just think that would be neat.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I really like what Allison Higgins Ed said. She said, I would love to visit all the national parks in the United States. That is cool right there.
No, that's a great bucket list. I liked Rob Miller. He had said that he wanted to take the 4 or 5 months to backpack the entire Appalachian Trail. I have read a few books on the Appalachian Trail as well. It's one that I have my sights set on. My husband did the Colorado Trail 2 years ago, and we got to run SAG for him. But Allison had a great answer. Rob had a great answer. Our teachers are pretty adventurous out there with the things that they would love to do. And maybe I'm hoping you inspired them, but we had people wanting to be storm chasers, maybe storm troopers. No, I'm sorry. Well, question two, what keeps you from doing that one thing? For me, I feel like it is going to happen one day, but right now, money. It's about $10,000 per person, and my children are not ready to walk for 3 weeks. They're not of the age to be able to walk at altitude for 3 weeks. So I either have to wait for them to grow up or wait for them to get a little older.
It could be a challenge when you do something like that, for sure, on several different fronts, because it's not just physical fitness, but there's monetary things involved. You know, I actually fill out paperwork to do a teacher/teacher-to-astronaut program and submit it.
So are you saying NASA is what's keeping you from doing this?
Whoever goes through all the thousands of applications kept me from doing this.
Well, I'm going to send this podcast to somebody at NASA. I don't know who. I'm just going to do it at NASA. Maybe we can get you up there, Scott.
Hey, that would be pretty fun. I probably
we
wouldn't
need to
say
share
no.
It.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be cool. I really liked what at Megan_Cannon said here. She said, I've never sat down and actually planned it out. I'm also super busy, which I realize is a crap excuse. And I think during the chat, there was a lot of reference to funds to do a lot of these things, because a lot of these things require some sort of travel or time commitment or something like that, which, you know, money is involved there. But I think also, I think Megan's answer sums everything up well, too. Actually planning out what you want to do.
Exactly. We all have desires, but getting to the action part of it, it
right.
is, yeah, that's a step that we need to take.
Can be tough.
Well, on that note, what is one step we can take to do it? You filled out the paperwork.
And got denied.
And got denied. That's all right. I think that that's pretty darn ballsy. Sorry, I said
Ooh.
That. You can bleep that if
gonna
you need
to. I'm going to have to put the explicit thing up for this podcast.
I apologize, Oakla Ed. For me, saving money and waiting for the children to grow up. That's I feel like that's the biggest thing that's in my way. So saving money is what I can do now to help me towards that goal.
Right. And I did fill out the paperwork, so I at least took that step. I didn't it wasn't one of those things where I did it several times. And sometimes you look back too on things like that where you take steps and you know what, I didn't make it, but oh my gosh, I've almost earned my PhD because I didn't make it. So I think sometimes too, just taking those steps can help you overcome some internal fear about new stuff.
Well, and maybe it's all the timing. Maybe they need a doctorate to a candidate, you know, to go up there.
Yeah, maybe so. I really liked what Shelby Jr. 3 had to say. I felt like several of her tweets during the chat were pretty good. This was one of my favorites from her. She said, I need to stop being so anxious. I need to stop with the type A control freak, waiting for the exact right time to do stuff and start saving money. And I think that sums up a lot of teachers. We want to be super expert on whatever it is we do before we start doing it. And
for
so,
sure.
And we want to control every aspect of it from beginning to end. And sometimes we just need to take a leap of faith that we don't know exactly how it's going to end, but my God, it's going to be cool.
Control is so hard to give up.
It
really is.
It is. We're not surgeons. We don't need all the control. We're working with humans who think on their own. I'm not saying it's going to be easy sometimes, and I'm not saying it's going to be beautiful all the time, but I think if we can just relax on that part, I tweeted later and we'll talk about it in a minute, but you know, we can research until the cows come home. What are you going to do now?
Right.
So what is one thing you are wanting to try in your classroom but are afraid?
And so this is where that internal soul searching came in, Scott. I feel like a lot of people tell me, gosh, you know so much about so much. And I mean, I'm not trying to toot a horn and I'm not a narcissist. Maybe a little. No, I'm just kidding. but PBL, I mean, and I've done sessions on PBL and what it's supposed to be. And I have really tried several times this year, but I keep getting hung up on the how to teach them to think and execute the process and not be dragged through the process. And so part of me thinks the failure is on me in, I don't know. I've got passion. I want to see them with the passion. And so I need to figure out where I'm failing there. And I did see in this tweet that there were several people wanting to do that. So I think, and you told me the other day, reaching out to those people, maybe we can all figure out where we're, you know, headed in the right direction. So
yeah, I think there's a lot of interest in PBL because that's what real life is. It's not just an algebra problem. It's an algebra problem inside of a grocery list, inside of rent, inside of car payment. And so I think PBL, if we can start getting people into trying to work that way with all kinds of different curriculums is a good thing. I tried some baby PBL with some stuff that I did with my calculus kids. that was really interesting. We would take about a week or so for a particular problem, so I didn't have it in there like I wanted. But I think PBL is really fascinating, and there's some really great Okla Ed PBL folks.
Yeah, I just need to get a hold of them. Yeah, I really do.
So I noticed that at CDean15 commented with her tweet, trying to use tech or curriculum that won't get funded. So she's wanting to try stuff, but the tech or the curriculum can't pick up the funds, which is a very real situation.
Do you know if grant writing was put on the board at EdCamp? I missed the first part of EdCamp, so I didn't get to see the board being built. Do you know if grant writing was on there at all?
I don't know if grant writing was, but I know that Dr. Terry Colon at OU, and I think her Twitter is at Dr. Terry OU, is a grant writer extraordinaire. Like, she has resources that can put you in touch with folks that can put you in touch with the grant. So definitely reach out to her through Okla Ed, and she's always on the hunt to help out teachers.
That'd be awesome. But I mean, I can totally see where that's at. You want to use it, and then maybe you do get the funds and you buy it out of your pocketbook, and then it doesn't go the way you thought it was going to go, and now you've got this piece of technology or equipment sitting there, and what do you do with it after that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's scary too, because then that's the whole paralysis of analysis deal, where now we've got it and it failed the first time. Now what? You analyze everything, and then 2 years later, whatever that thing was is collecting dust instead of you going, all right, this lesson sucked, this is where I'm tweaking. So
gosh. Oh, I worked in a school once, Scott, and the smart boards were the new thing that at the time. Everybody was trying to get these smart boards, and they got these air books, which the kids were supposed to be able to write on, and then the teacher clicks on a button and it puts what the kid had written on up on the smart board. And I left the school, came back after, almost a year or two. They were still in the box, had never been used. And it was sad, because I'm sure it was something that was tried and maybe just either the execution wasn't there, or the reason why wasn't there anymore. Maybe they couldn't, there are lots of things, but that technology now sits there, and what do you do with it?
Right. It's tough.
So what keeps us from doing that one thing in our classroom?
Well, I think at Caitlin Murray 27 summed it up the absolute best by saying, being afraid to fail is keeping me from knowing the most successful way to organize my classroom. And I guarantee you that is almost every teacher's biggest worry. And failure came up a lot in the chat.
Sure. It's part of what keeps me from doing it in my classroom. And the couple of times we have done it, I feel like at the end of the project, they knew a lot. I mean, the project itself turned out well. It did not translate into a good formative assessment or even the summative benchmarks that we give. It didn't translate into a test. And so I felt like I had to go back and reteach a traditional way, which put me 4 to 5 weeks behind after having put that project out there. And that failure, it's a driving factor. We've got to find ways to fail forward. And I think I'm going to, but we've got to get past that failure, or else we're not going to innovate.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I would just also add that our students also sometimes become paralyzed by fear of failure. And as teachers, if we can be a role model in that and go, gosh, that lesson totally sucked, I'm sorry, I'm going to make it better next time, and here's how. And just sharing with them our thought process, that can give them some tools to also think through different things that they're going to try and fail in life. I guarantee you, you're going to fail in life at something somewhere along the way. And so, how do you respond to that? You don't just quit, usually, unless it's harmful to you.
Right.
So.
Well, I loved your next question as well. What two small steps can you take to do this one new thing in your classroom? And I only put one thing. I didn't read the question. I only put one thing. For me, it is LEAP. I've got 2 months after, the state testing, which I have to, all schools have to do well, right? I mean, we have to make our schools look good, and the best way to do that is to, teach. But I feel like I will be able to let go a little bit more after that test is taken, because then there's no repercussions. There's no punitive damages for those last 2 months of school. And I hate saying that out loud. I mean, I really do. And maybe I'm wrong in that, and I should just say to heck with it all. But I feel like there's no punitive damages to come up during those last 2 months of school. So I'm just going to leap. I'm going to do it.
I think when I first put my classroom, it was a challenge, because that was something that was sort of new-ish. No, we only had one other teacher doing it in the building.
Doing what?
Flipping the classroom.
Oh, flipping, yeah.
Yeah, and so I even did that with one of my tested subjects. I had no idea how the end of the year was going to work out, but I was willing to take that risk. And you know what? All my kids were fine. So I think there's a healthy fear, like you were saying, that I've got to have my kids ready. But I think that if we're intentional in how we set these things up, even if we fail along the way, because trust me, not every lesson went smooth that first year of flipping the class, but my kids were ready when it came down to it, and I was able to do it completely different than anybody else. So I understand that there's a healthy skepticism there from the point of view of the teacher of, I have to teach first and then I can try new things. But I would, here's another challenge. I would challenge all of us. Hey, we can do some things a little bit different. Our kids are going to be fine because we are great teachers and we recognize where we need to make the corrections along the way. Now, if you have an 8-week project coming up, hard to recover from that. So,
yes.
You know, so we have to be intelligent with how we do these things. But I think it's still there if we want to.
Well, I just came up with my step two.
Oh, good.
Trust myself.
Yes. I mean, I think you're probably a pretty good teacher, just like most of the folks that we know are pretty good teachers. And so I trust us to try cool things. And if it doesn't pull off how we envisioned it in our mind, our kids are still going to learn. That's my view. My friend at KMAC Oklahoma, he gave two very specific small steps, and I loved his response here. Eliminate content to open the room for in-class writing or revision. Commit to student prep for a more lab-oriented English class. He really wants his kids to write and get feedback on that and revise the writing so they can be excellent writers. And here's two practical steps that he can start doing right now as a teacher. And I thought that was great.
Yeah, very specific, very practical.
Yeah. What are some resources that you could use, Aaron, to learn more about this one thing you want to try?
So I feel like I've read a lot. There are websites dedicated to it. Edutopia's got lots of stuff on PBL, but I am kind of a hands-on person. I need to do and walk through the process. So I think the one resource I'm going to be looking for over the summer is a conference or seminar or workshop that I can go to maybe sit through the process or be taught how to better harness those passions.
I know for me, when I was wanting to gamify my classroom, I had to chew on it for like 3 years before I finally sat in an ISTE conference. I was at the ISTE conference and I sat in a session and the guy unzipped it for me. And when that session was over, I mentally had already planned my next year and what I was going to do. So sometimes we just need to get that one thing, you know, that one thing. At Waters English, she has an amazing website herself, chock full of goodies for you ELA folks at Mrs. Waters English, I believe is what it is. Her answer was great. She said, Okla Ed is an amazing resource, and Pinterest, and Teachers Pay Teachers, and students themselves, they're really quite brilliant. And she hit the nail on the head right there with all of those.
That is great. You know, I was in a meeting the other day with a teacher shortage task force, and they were talking about needing to develop a website or needing to develop some sort of on-demand teachers call in and get help so that they can, you know, get their problem solved. And I said, you know, that's great. Create the website, but it exists already. We have the Okla Ed hashtag, and you get on there and hashtag your question to the Okla Ed, you're going to get a response. And our teachers are so great about not hiding their resources. They're really good about sharing and really taking care of each other. And I love that. We've got to have each other's backs because sometimes we're the only ones who do have our backs.
Yeah, true story, true story. And if you can create a relationship with folks on Twitter, then they share even more. And so that's
I met
that's
you kinda, through.
Yeah, we knew each other through Twitter for a while.
I mean, probably a year before we actually met in person.
Right. And there's other folks on Twitter that I just met at Ed Camp this past weekend for the first time that I've known for 5 years since I first started that I just met face to face. So I think when you create that relationship there, people are more than willing to share and help and give ideas or websites or whatever's. Yeah.
Well, I liked your question 8 too. How will you share the results from the change that occurs as a result of the one thing? Even if they're not so glamorous. I like this because, you know, as teachers, I think a lot of times after we get out of that teacher training, we don't reflect much anymore, you know? And I think that this is a call for reflection. For me, Scott, I'm going to use blogging in this podcast. I'll use Twitter to get my answers to the questions that I've got. But I'm going to just put it out there and see if I can move past my failures.
I think it's important to share as well. I like Twitter a lot. It's easy. I feel like you can have a real time conversation through Twitter a lot easier than you can Facebook or Tumblr. I feel like Facebook kind of can let us rant. So I think sometimes there's that, but, for blogging, and it also allows a bit of anonymity. But for blogging purposes, Tumblr is an easy way to get started. You can create a Tumblr account and have your first blog posted under 5 minutes. You can and you can upload audio, video, pictures, whatever, and it's really not that hard. So if you can tweet or Facebook, Tumblr gives you more than the 140 characters to share. And it's super important to share success, failure, and meh. You have to share all of those. And so just critical that we do that, because there's no need to reinvent the wheel. Aaron, if I've got amazing PBL stuff and you're trying to unhook the wagon and take off, then maybe one thing that I've done previously will be that key. And so we've got to share. Uh-huh. I really loved at tstyles77, who will be hosting the next Oakland Ed Chat. His answer on this was great. He said, I'm a blogger. I love using my blog as a platform for my successes and failures. And you can find him on the internet at thefisherofstories.com. And I love that, successes and failures.
I like the name of that .com, The Fisher of Stories. That sounds really cool.
It does. It sounds great. So what was your favorite question, Aaron? You've said you liked a lot of these. Which one was the one?
The question was number 4. What are you wanting to try, but you're afraid? It really forced me to say it out loud, to examine it and think about how to move on it. And I thought, you know, how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
Exactly. So I just need to get back on the horse and get my fort going. How many, you know, metaphors can I put in there at the same time? But that was my favorite question.
Good. I really like the one about sharing your results. I just think it's critical. I just think it's so important, because all of us have a story to share about what we're doing in our classroom, and they're all unique. None of us is doing the exact same thing, and we've got to share what we're doing so other teachers can see and capitalize on that. So there you go. What was your boom sauce tweet of the night?
So my boom sauce tweet of the night was a quote tweet from you that Shelby at Shelby Junior 3 had posted, stop being so anxious, type A, control freak, waiting for the exact right time to do the stuff. You said, and this is the boom sauce tweet, is there ever a right time? And the answer is, I mean, unless you're just a genius and have really got foresight and stuff down pat, there's never a right time. I think about having kids and people trying to save money to have kids and people trying to save money to go on vacations. And sometimes you just got to go and things will work out.
We may not know the end, but we can know how to start. And I think it's just critical to to do something. Several of the tweets came, teachers were going to, they're going to research and contact friends. They're going to research and contact friends. They're going to research and contact friends. But how much research are we going to do here? And so, you know, I gave a friendly nudge, like, we can research when we have we researched enough, something new is always coming out. At some point, you got to take the first bite of the elephant. Now, for me, eating an elephant could take at least a year. I mean, so it may not be a fast process, but what are you going to do to start?
Gosh, yeah, I can't even finish my burger sometimes at the restaurant. So it might take a year or two for me.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to get started with that first bite. My favorite one was from one of our Okla Ed regulars hailing from Virginia. That's right, all the way over there.
I love that he comes, yeah, every week.
Like, if he's not there, I'm like, all right, somebody get a hold of John. Where is
Where's
he?
John?
Yep. I need my goodnight Gracie tweet at the end. but John's, my Boomsaw Tweet of the Night was John's first one. He's an emeritus professor from UConn, so he's a retired young man and living in Virginia, and he would like to be a participant in a Civil War reenactment. And to me, that is cool. That is just so cool.
Awesome. Yeah. He's right in the middle of all that stuff. Like, yeah. How long do you think it'll take him to act on this?
I don't know. He shared several tweets on how he was going to work to try and get into shape to be able to physically do all the stuff and the stamina and all of that. So I was really excited by that. And I bet if you drew like a 4-hour drive radius around his house, there's like 5,000 Civil War things he could do.
5,000. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there was only like 4,000 things that happened in the Civil War. So it's really weird.
Well, Scott, who you said who's hosting next week? What's going on?
At @tstyles77 is hosting the Okla Ed Chat next week. He's going to talk about how to help students succeed with real life ELA skills. And he, in fact, if you want to just get probably a primer on this, you should go, if you're a podcast listener and you're listening to this one, so you are, go find Josh Flores and his podcast On Your Plan. It's called Podcast On Your Plan. And @tstyle77 was the most recent guest on that one. So it was a pretty good listen.
Wow. So he was a guest on Flores's podcast.
Right.
He's now hosting the weekly chat this coming week. This guy's kind of putting himself out there here.
That is. Taking some steps. And you know what's really cool about coming up in the future with the Okla Ed Chat? Go ahead, ask.
What is what's really cool coming up with the Okla Ed Chat, Scott?
We're going to do a combo chat with Colorado Ed Chat.
What?
Yes. So not only have we had a combo chat with Wyoming Ed, we're now going to have a combo chat with Colorado Ed. I think it'll be
That's
really fun.
So awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Rocky Mountain High.
Whoa. What time will those chats take place? Aren't they an hour behind us?
They would be an hour behind us, so I'm sure our chat time won't move because it's quite a busy chat. But I think what we're going to do is try and do a combo where they join us one night at 8 Central Standard Time on Sunday, every Sunday, 8 Central Standard, and there will be the one night when we join them at their normal time because our chats are on different nights.
I love it. I love that idea. That's great.
It'll be super awesome. Super awesome. Super fun. So, with that, educators, you know what to do. Go dominate the world.
Wahaha. They're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma.